I consider myself immeasurably blessed by God. Do you consider yourself immeasurably blessed by God this morning? When I stop for a moment and I consider all that God has done for me, it is beyond what I can put into words. And one of the many ways in which God has blessed me in my life is by bringing into my life my wonderful wife, Michelle, and blessing us with four children. Now, when I became a father, you may have had this experience if you're a parent. When I became a father, I found that a number of people who were already parents gave me advice. And there was one piece of advice that was common to many across many different people. Many different people gave me the same advice. And this is the advice that they gave. They gave lots of other advice, but this is the one that stands out in my mind this morning. They said this, and they still say this to me. Enjoy your children when they're young, because it doesn't last. Enjoy your children when they're young, because it doesn't last. That is so very true. What do people usually say who run into children who they haven't seen in a while? What do they usually say? They say things like, wow, and I do this too, wow, you've gotten big, right? Or they say, I can't believe how much you've grown, right? Kids grow up fast. The early years are particularly amazing. Just stop and think for a moment about all the changes a child typically goes through between the ages of 0 and 4 years old. The newborn babies, they can do little to nothing for themselves. They need mom and dad to feed and to clothe them. If they want to change locations, they don't change locations on their own. They only change locations if someone brings them there. The best they can do when they're unhappy is cry and hope somebody can figure out what's wrong to make it better. But only after a short time, their muscles begin to get stronger. They start crawling. Usually within a year, they're walking. Within that same period of time, they move from milk or formula to eating something that resembles solid food. I love baby cookies still. Anybody? Anybody with me on that? Like Arrowroot cookies are awesome, right? And it's messy, but they even begin to start to be able to feed themselves. They go from simply crying and laughing to being able to say words. They start out with simple things like mom and dad or food, something like that. But after a short period of time, they begin to learn more words, and amazingly, you're able to have a conversation with them. All this takes place in just a few short years. In fact, I can't think of another time in a person's life where they will learn as much, where they will undergo as many changes, as much as they do from the short time of being born to about the year 4 years old. It's amazing the amount of change that happens. That's how it is with children, right? We expect them to grow up and mature. And when that doesn't happen, we recognize it as a problem. You know, just as growing up and maturing physically is important, it is also extremely important for us to grow up and mature spiritually. In our text this morning, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 to 6, verse 3, turn there again in your Bibles if you would. The writer here voices a frustration with the readers of this letter. They have failed to mature spiritually. They are still babies, infants in Christ. In these verses, we can hear God's desire for his people to grow up and to become spiritually mature. And that happens in four ways in this text. There are two warnings about things that keep us from maturing in Christ. And then he gives us two things that are necessary for us to grow up and mature in Christ. And the question that needs to be on our minds this morning is, are we growing up in Christ? Are we maturing in the Lord? We need to be. as Christians. We need to be. So let's take this first warning to heart. Here's the first warning that comes to us in verse 11. It's this. We won't grow up in Christ if we are lazy listeners. Taking the Word of God into our minds so that it can work its way into our hearts is an active exercise. To be passive in listening to the Bible being taught is just as bad, if not worse, as stopping up your ears so that you can't hear at all. We won't grow up in Christ if we are lazy listeners. So far, up to this point in the book of Hebrews, the author talks a lot about the person and work of the Lord Jesus. In the section that comes just before the verses that we're looking at this morning, he starts talking about the high priestly ministry of Jesus, comparing it to the Old Testament priesthood. And it's clear from what is written in these verses that he's starting to get into the deeper things of the Christian faith. He's starting to get into things that are a little bit more difficult to understand. And when he gets to verse 11 in chapter 5, he stops for a minute and he says something to them. Look at what he says in verse 11. He says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn." In other words, we want to talk about deeper things. We want to take you into the things, into the deeper riches of the Christian faith, but we have a hard time getting to those things. Why? Because it says, "You are slow to learn." More literally translated, that would read, "You have become lazy in hearing." The verb there is in the perfect tense, which indicates an action that happens in the past, but still has ongoing consequences in the present. So it's not a question of intellectual capability here. It's not that he's concerned that he feels like they could never get it, they could never understand what he's saying. He's concerned that they won't get it because they have demonstrated a lack of concern to pay attention. They're not listening. They made a choice somewhere in the past, somewhere a while back, they made a choice to just start going through the motions. They're in church, but they're counting the ceiling rafters. They're in church, but they're thinking about something else, a TV show. What's for lunch? Being passive in life is incredibly easy to fall into. We know this is true in our life. Several years ago, I ran a few triathlons. Now, a triathlon is where you do some swimming, you do some biking, and then you do some running. And in order to get ready for those things, I would train. And I remember very vividly when we were living in London at the time, I went for a 5K run through the neighborhood around our house. And when I made it back to the house, there was this amazing feeling that came over me. I thought to myself, you know, I could do that again. And then somewhere along the way, that changed. If I were to go out for a 5K run now, it would take me twice as long, and I was never fast, by the way, but it would take me twice as long, and I would be lucky to not die of a heart attack. Why? Why did that happen? Because somewhere along the way, I made the decision to stop running. And as soon as you become passive about fitness, physical fitness in your life, you stop making progress. No one has ever done well in a marathon by sitting on the couch. That has never happened. The same thing is true with spiritual growth. No one ever grows deeper in their faith without effort. People say, you know, these things are hard to understand. Yes, they are. It takes work. If you think you know it already, and therefore you don't have to go to the Word of God, you won't be growing in Christ. If you don't resolve, make an active decision when you walk through the doors of this building to pay attention to what's being said, you're going to be a baby. in Christ. If you say to yourself, that's too hard to understand, so I'm not even going to try, you will never mature in your faith. We know that's true with anything that we like to do. Just think about it first morning. Think about this first morning. Are you a good baker? Is anybody a good baker? I know you might not want to put up your hand because you might feel prideful, so I won't ask for a show of hands, but just ask yourself, are you a good baker? And if the answer in your head is, yes, I am a good baker, why? Are you good at fixing cars? Are you good at working with your hands? Are you good at fixing stuff? Why are you good at that? Are you good at things like math and science? Why are you good at that? Oh, it's true. Some people have a natural aptitude toward one thing or another, but nobody gets good at anything without paying attention. At some point along the way, you make the decision, I want to learn about that. And you pay attention to it and you pursue it. Maturing in the Lord is not something that just happens. We need to give our attention to the Word of God, which raises a question. How do we know we're doing that? How do we know that we're paying attention when the Word of God is taught? How do we know that we're maturing? I've met a lot of people over the years who think themselves mature believers, who upon closer examination are not. The second warning given to us here shows us how we can evaluate whether or not we're growing up in Christ. One of the things we can ask ourselves to know whether or not it's taking place. Here's the second warning from this text. We won't grow up in Christ if we don't understand basic doctrine. If the essential truths of the Christian faith are foggy in our thinking, we will never move on to deeper things. We won't grow up in Christ if we don't understand basic doctrine. Verse 12 tells us why the writer has such a concern for his hearers. Listen to verse 12. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. If these people were new believers, like if they had just come to Christ, if they had just accepted Him as Lord and Savior, then it would be understandable that they would need to have to be reminded or taught again the basic things of Christianity. If they had merely heard the gospel a handful of times, he would have no need to be worried about their progress into maturity. The strong impression given to us here is that they have sat under the gospel many times. They have claimed to be Christians for a substantial period of time. That's the clear message from the phrase, by this time you ought to be teachers. You've been doing this a while. You ought to have progressed. But instead of being able to teach others, they need to hear the basic truths of Christianity all over again. And he drives this point home by using the illustration of food. He says, you need milk, not solid food. That's a subtle way of saying, you're a bunch of babies. I want you to get that picture in your mind for a moment of a little baby. Imagine a little baby wrapped up in his mother's arms, sucking on a soother as content as could be. Now, what are the adjectives that come to your mind when you have that scene in your head? You probably have something like, oh, isn't that cute, right? Now, imagine a university student being rocked by his mom sucking on a soother. Some of you are like, I know people like that. I won't ask for the adjectives for that scene. But we can all agree that's bad, right? It's just as bad to still be a spiritual baby when you're supposed to be grown up. It is absolutely essential, according to these verses, that we have the basic doctrines of Christ clear in our minds to get out of the infant stage of being a Christian. The only way that a person can teach, that's what he says to them here, right? By this time, you ought to be teachers. The only way that someone can teach the basics of the Christian faith to someone else is if those basics are clear in their own mind. Do you want to know if you're growing in Christ? Do you want to know if you're maturing in Christ? Ask yourself the question, if someone asked me, how can a person be right with God? If somebody came to you after church and said, you know, how can I be right with God? What would you say to them? What would your answer be? Where would you go in the Bible to support your answer? So it's just not a thought out of your head. This is something that God is saying about how to be right with Him. Where would you go in the Bible for that answer? Now, after you do that, after you figure out what would I say, where in the Bible would I go, go and tell your answer to some fellow believers and see what they say. According to this text, if you can't do that, you are at best a baby in Christ and you need to grow up. Just taking up a seat in church your whole life does not make you mature. Just because you're old doesn't make you wise in the faith. In fact, I would warn those of you who are on the downhill side of 50 that being old, by its very nature, can keep you from maturing in Christ. Old people get stubborn. They do. They do. And if you're offended by that, I'm sorry, but it's true. Old people get stubborn, and they can be blind to their need to grow up. It is very possible to be a 100-year-old spiritual baby. And that is no way, brothers and sisters, that is no way to go into eternity. Just as it is the natural course for someone who is born physically to mature and grow, so too it is the natural course for someone born again by the power of the Holy Spirit to mature and grow. That doesn't happen if you are a lazy listener. Because if you don't listen well, you won't be able to master even the most basic doctrines in Christ. And so you will remain an infant. There's more in these verses about spiritual growth, though, than just learning doctrine, than just learning biblical truth. And that's what we see in these next verses. Now we see how to grow up and mature in Christ. Here's the third point that we see from our text this morning, is that we will grow up in Christ if we apply biblical truth to our lives. Walking with Christ, walking with Jesus, is more than an intellectual pursuit. It is that. You need to have right truth in your head, but it's more than that. It is learning how to learn to live that truth that leads to maturity. We will grow up in Christ if we apply biblical truth to our lives. Staying with the illustration of an infant, we read this in verse 13 of chapter 5. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. If you, after all this time, he's saying to them, if you, after all this time, still can't even handle Christianity 101, then you don't have much of a clue of what it is to live the Christian life at all. Now look at what he says in verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. After three verses of talking about what the problem is, in verse 14, we start to hear about the solution. We know from verse 12 that the milk here is being used to illustrate the ABCs of being in Christ, the basic things, which means that solid food must be illustrating the deeper truths of the Christian faith. How do we know that a person has moved on from just milk to solid food? It says it right here. Look at it in your Bibles. It's right in the middle of the verse. The word who there. Do you see it in the middle of verse 14? The word who there. Who is that referring to? It's referring to those who are maturing. Because they can handle solid food. Now notice it says about these people who by constant use of what? Constant use of spiritual food. Now what is the outcome? They've taken in that spiritual food and they've done what? They've trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. To say it another way, they have learned to do what is right and to avoid what is wrong. Now the use of food here as an illustration is brilliant. Because think of what happens when a baby takes his mother's milk. What happens? The baby is nourished. The brain is developed, the bones grow, as well as muscle and tissue. The milk grows the baby to a point where he can start eating solid food. What effect does the solid food have? Well, it has the same effect. It grows bone, it grows tissue, it grows muscle, and it brings the child into adulthood, physically speaking. The point is if we eat food and our body makes proper use of that food, we grow up. Right? We become adults. This verse is giving us the same lesson spiritually speaking. When we take the good spiritual milk as babes in Christ and make proper use of it, we grow up in Christ. If we do that with spiritual milk, we will not remain on milk only, but we will mature enough to chew on solid food as well. Now, how do you know that's happening? How do we know that's taking place? That's the application that we find here in verse 14. It is you get to the point where you are able to distinguish between good and evil. It is the application of biblical truth to your life that determines whether or not you're making good use of spiritual food. Some of the basic first steps in the Christian life are things like being forgiving, being truthful, avoiding sexual immorality, being able to share the gospel with others, acts of service, humility, and alike. As we mature in Christ through the application of deeper truths, we grow in things like patience, love, hope, joy, joy even through trial, sacrifice, courage, gentleness, knowledge, and alike. Here's the question. Is that happening in your life? I have no desire to make anybody mad at me this morning, but it needs to be said. It needs to be said that the last year and a half has revealed that many of us have a lot of growing up to do. Unfair judgments, a lack of compassion, divisions, even within families over secondary matters, unwillingness to sacrifice for the good of the neighbor, wanting to bind the conscience of fellow believers, anger, bitterness, and the list could go on. And I'm no exception. I'm preaching this message to myself. I am the first hearer of this message. I get to hear it before any of you do. We could all stand to grow up. We all need to do better at applying the Word of God to our lives. That brings us to our final point from the text this morning. We can't be lazy listeners. We need clarity on basic doctrine. We need good application of the Word of God to our lives. And finally this, we will grow up in Christ if we pursue deeper truths while depending on God. We have to want to know more. When we come to things in the Bible that we don't understand, or we hear something in a message that's proclaimed that we don't understand, rather than throwing up our hands in frustration, we ought to fall on our knees. We will grow up in Christ if we pursue deeper truths while depending on God. Verse 1 of chapter 6 begins with the word, therefore. So having declared the importance of growing up, he says this to believers in the first half of verse 1. He says, therefore, Let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ. It's time to get off of milk. It's time to stop being a baby and grow up. That's what he's saying. And listen, there's no choice here. This is not a, do this if you feel like it. Or this is for some believers, but maybe not for others. There's no choice here. Just as a child can't make it into the world unless he or she grows up, so too we will not endure in following Jesus unless we mature in our faith. Over the last couple of years, there have been a number of what I would call Christian, so-called Christian celebrities go through something they call faith deconstruction. That's a fancy way of saying they don't want to believe in Jesus anymore. Now, what they usually do is they usually make a social media post or they make a video or something and put it on the internet, and everybody gets up all upset for a couple of days. Did you hear so-and-so walked away from Christianity? And it's like this big, devastating moment, it seems, in the life of celebrity church. I don't think it's devastating in the life of the church for real. Just celebrity church is where it seems to be devastating. Now, I want to suggest to you that the reason why these people go through this faith deconstruction, or the reason they stop believing in Jesus or say they stop believing in Jesus, is because they fail to mature in their faith. I think that says something rather troubling about the church in North America, that people who are so immature can arise to such positions of popularity and leadership. It's time to grow up. No one can stay with Jesus for their whole life, going through all the trial and tribulation that comes with being a follower of Jesus, unless they grow up. Now, when it says here in this verse that we're about to leave the elementary teachings of Christ, it does not mean that we're going to forget about basic doctrine. That's not what he means, and that becomes clear in verses 1 and 2. Listen to what he says. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now, when you build a house and you finish laying the foundation, that's the illustration that he's giving us here. When you build a house and finish laying the foundation, do you destroy the foundation? Do you get rid of it and say, we don't need it? No, you don't. Do you start building another foundation upon the original foundation that you built? No, you don't. What do? You build the house on top of the foundation. The point here is not to scrap sound basic doctrine. And he says that. He says, we need repentance, right? We need that. Repentance is a turning from sin, turning from evil. There is no salvation without repentance. You cannot have Christ as your Savior if you don't turn from your sin. Then what does he say? To repentance, you must add faith in God. It is by faith that we turn to the cross of Christ and his empty tomb and are forgiven for the sin from which we are repenting. Then he speaks of baptisms and the laying on of hands. Commentators are sort of divided on what he means there, but given the context that these are foundational principles, I think what we need to understand is that these are public displays of the glorious reality of faith in Christ. When you believe in Christ, you are washed clean and made right with him. Right? That's what's symbolized in baptism. The laying on of hands is most often used to refer to workings of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. As a believer in Christ, somebody who's put your faith in God, you have the Holy Spirit at work in you. Lastly, he speaks of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Our hope as Christians is that Jesus will come back and with the blast of the trumpet command the dead in Christ to rise. And graves will be opened, and the decay of death will be reversed. We will be given new bodies, no longer subject to decay, and be with the Lord forever. But that will not be true for everyone. Those who reject Christ as Lord and Savior will be judged, and they will be condemned to hell forever. Heaven and hell are real. And so I urge everyone within the sound of my voice to flee quickly to the cross and receive God's mercy rather than his eternal wrath. These are the foundational things about being in Christ. And we can never ignore them, and we can never push them aside. But we need to build on them if we're to mature in Christ. How many of you are fans of Dr. Seuss? Green Eggs and Ham, great book, right? But there is a big difference between reading Green Eggs and Ham and reading The Lord of the Rings by Tolkien. There's a big difference there. But you know, both books are written using the same alphabet. You can't leave behind the alphabet when you leave behind Green Eggs and Ham, can you? So it is with the Christian faith. There's a big difference between knowing that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, and being able to plumb the depths of the fountain of grace that runs from Emmanuel's veins. But both require the same foundation. You don't get rid of one as you move on to maturity. It doesn't change as you move on to maturity. That said, we must not be content with staying at the kids' table. We must desire deeper truths, the solid spiritual food of the Scriptures, and we must do this in humility. Look at what it says in verse 3. So he's saying it's time to grow up. It's time to go on from the elementary teachings about Christ. And then he says this in verse 3, and God permitting, we will do so. How do we come to understand the deeper things of the Bible that lead to maturity in Christ? It happens because God himself opens our hearts and minds to these greater realities. When you don't understand something in the Bible, don't throw up your hands and give up. Fall on your knees and ask him to open your mind. That's how we grow up in Christ. That's how we mature. We do it by purposely focusing our attention on the Word of God when it is proclaimed. You don't grow up if you're a lazy listener. We do it when we are clear on the basic doctrines of the Christian faith. Can you share the gospel with somebody this morning? Can you go into the Bible and show somebody how they can be right with God? You need to do that. If you're going to grow up, you need to be able to do that if you're going to grow up in Christ. We don't just have the Word of God in our heads if we want to mature in Christ, if we're growing up. We actually have to live it out. We actually have to do what He says. And finally, we need to desire the deeper truths of Scripture. The incomprehensible things about the nature of God should captivate our minds as we try and stretch to see more of His glory, to understand more of who He is. And the book of Hebrews is about to launch us in to deeper things. So don't miss next week. We're going to get launched into deeper things. It's going to stretch our understanding. And so the exhortation as we stand at the beginning of doing that is this: grow up, brothers and sisters. Grow up. Don't stay babies. Grow up for the glory of Christ, because that is for our highest good. Let's pray together. Oh God, there is so much conviction in these verses. Oh, how we need to walk more steadfastly with you. Oh, how we all need to strive towards maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, as much as your word tells us how we can do those things, and we ought to put our best effort into these things, ultimately we know, God, that this is an exercise of grace. that to grow up in Christ happens because you are merciful and kind. You give us desires for your glory that we did not have in and of ourselves. You give us understanding that we could not have on our own and did not even want to have on our own. It's an exercise of grace. And so, God, my prayer as we close our time together is that you would be merciful and gracious to us. Grow us up, O God, for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.